Well, we'll talk about the first meeting with President Trump and Vladimir Putin, and we'll explain why the transgender revolution will not succeed.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I know it's the big news. President Trump, Vladimir Putin meeting face to face in Helsinki, their first ever meeting of this kind. They were together at the beginning of the meeting, and then doors closed just with translators, then joint press conference afterwards. Boy, it's going to take a while for the dust to settle on this one, but we'll talk about that some. And then talk about a large cultural social issue that may actually touch someone near you. 866 34-TRUTH. If you'd like to weigh in, 866-348-7884. In fact, I'm going to do a poll on Twitter, and I'm going to ask on Twitter how you feel about the president's performance overseas on this trip, meeting with Theresa May, Brexit-related discussions in the UK, meeting with the Queen, and now meeting with Vladimir Putin. How do you feel about his performance? According to former CIA director John Brennan, who is a fierce critic of Donald Trump. Are you ready? Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he is wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you? That is what Brennan had to say. Other headlines, of course, reporting things very differently. I read the statement of a body language expert. So you're watching behind closed doors. Now the doors open. There's Trump. There's Putin. There's the first handshake. And they're both sitting there, and it's an awkward moment. Now, I'm in a lot of situations publicly where you don't know who goes first or what's supposed to happen. You kind of look at each other for cues. So, and for all of you who've watched these kinds of things or been in them yourself, it was definitely an awkward moment. And then Putin starts off, and of course, his comments are shorter, which is easy for a translator. Trump's weren't long, but detailed enough in his typical rambling style that could make it challenging for the translator to get exactly right every time. So I was curious to see how that was going to unfold. And of course, I don't know any Russian. But this body language expert said it was like two fighters. You know, you'll have the stare down, you have the weigh in the day before the fight or some press conference, and you have the stare down, and the guys just look at each other's eyes. I always think if I ever did that, I'd start to smile. I'd burst out laughing at a certain point. But, you know, this the stare down and you know, they're going to look into each other's souls. And you'll have fighter analysts who'll say, oh, I saw this. He said, I saw weakness in his eyes. I saw weakness when they did the stare down. And they're trying to decipher that and figure it out. Mike Tyson, the famous heavyweight boxer, said he knew immediately in the ring that he had already defeated the guy just by the look in his eyes. So according to this body language expert, neither man yielded. Neither man. And they both sat and they fixed their suits a certain way. It's like getting ready for battle. And neither one showed admiration or esteem for the other. So what are we to make of all this? What actually happened in the press conference itself? So just give an idea of how radically differently things can be reported. Breitbart.com, so very conservative right-wing site. Donald Trump defends summit with Vladimir Putin as bold American democracy. Quote from the president, I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than risk peace in pursuit of politics. Now, just for fun, go over to the Huffington Post, which is as far to the left as Breitbart is to the right, perhaps even further to the left. And what does the headline say? Pathetic Prez rolls over. Treasonous. Yeah, so this is now the new call. Treasonous. So just expect to hear this now, that the president committed treason. There have been efforts to get him impeached. There have been efforts to disqualify him. He's not mentally stable. Remember some months back where they had all these psychologists and psychiatrists doing what they're not allowed to do, diagnoses from a distance. Oh, he's not fit mentally. And then, of course, physically, he's not fit. And then, of course, he's guilty of various crimes and should be impeached. Now he committed treason. That's going to be the line. So just watch and see. And I imagine that this, like everything else, will fairly quickly blow over. It will get all the play that it can play, and then it will blow over. While most Americans won't be focused on that as much as they'll be focused on how the job market is doing, as much as they'll be focused on do they have a sense of security here in the country, as much as they'll be focused on other more personal issues of stability. But you'll watch. This is the treason. The president committed treason. High crimes, treason. It will be everywhere. And I don't have the time right now, this being such fresh news as we get into the show, to do a major search everywhere to look for this. And by the way, I'm not giving an overall evaluation. Number one, I was not there behind closed doors. Number two, I haven't had time to carefully analyze everything having to do with the press conference and then to read the various pundits and their takes on either side. So he may have done a terrible job. He may have done a great job. I don't know. Putin, on his part, said that he had nothing to do with his country trying to hack and influence the 2016 elections. And remember, this would have been under President Obama's tenure that these things were taking place. So Trump over the weekend said, what was Obama doing about this? So the battles continue. And Trump, of course, continues to say it had nothing to do with it. One New York Times writer suggested that since the 1980s, Donald Trump has been a sleeper spy. Yeah, he has secretly been a spy for Russia. And that's what this whole thing is, all a Russian plot. Ah, yeah. And not only so, he's also secretly working for the Mars Humanitarian Society. Yeah, because the Martians are trying to get better relationships with human beings, and Trump is also a spy from Mars. I just wanted to throw that in, not just a spy for Russia, but a spy for Mars. You heard it first, right here on the Line of Fire. Okay, back to reality here for a moment. Putin invited Robert Mueller over to Russia. Go ahead, do your probe. President Trump has said the whole probe is a disaster. And to this moment, there is zero evidence that Donald Trump colluded with Russia to win the election. Is there purported evidence that Russia hacked the election, hacked the DNC emails and got the emails of John Podesta and things like that? There appears to be, or at least that is the public statement. This is what has been found. What was also found and stated publicly at the end of last week is that there is no connection to Trump or his administration. So here's my take, friends, on everything. I am all for praising the president when he does well and criticizing the president when he doesn't. I am all for celebrating something he does, which is why we voted for him, and bemoaning something he does, which is what we feared would happen if we voted for him. I have no issue with that. In fact, I believe that's being even-handed. Look, when you are an umpire in a baseball game, when you are a referee in a football game or a soccer game or a basketball game, you cannot take sides. You cannot be rooting for one team or the other. In fact, if it's found out that you are, and then the worst crime of all, actually placing bets in a game where you can influence the outcome by your calls, then you are disgraced for life. You are disqualified for life. So when the religious leaders came to speak to Jesus and to try to flatter him, they said, oh, rabbi, teacher, we know that you're impartial, that you only speak the truth, that you don't care about human opinion. And Jesus, in contrast, and even though they were trying to flatter him, what they said was absolutely true. And they were about to get a dose of it themselves. In contrast, Jesus asked the religious leaders of his day, how can you believe when you care about the praise of men more than the praise of God? And Proverbs tells us that the fear of man is a snare. And Paul writes in Galatians 1 that if he yet we're seeking to please man, not in the sense of Romans 15, where we serve one another and serve the weaker and put their needs before ours and their preferences before ours, but in the sense of being a man pleaser, compromising your convictions for the sake of your companions. Paul said, if I was still doing that, I wouldn't be a servant of the Messiah. All that to say, we cannot be partisan politically and righteous at the same time. We cannot be partisan politically and speaking the truth in love at the same time. We cannot be partisan politically, by which I do not mean saying the Republicans are better here or the Democrats are better here, or the Republicans are worse here or the Democrats are worse here. No, that's applying a standard of truth and righteousness to everybody, okay? However, we cannot be partisan. Well, I'm all for the Republican Party. I'm all for the Democratic Party. I'm all for the Libertarian Party or whatever. I'm all for this candidate or that, and be impartial and unbiased at the same time. So I may get you upset because I speak well of Trump one day. I may get you upset because I speak against him the next day. And the same with those that on the other side of the issue. My goal, my only goal on the radio here, is not to fill time, is not to try to get listeners by talking about controversial subjects in a non-efficient way. My goal is to seek to weigh in as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. That's my goal. My goal is to speak the truth in love. So here's what I have to say about the summit, about President Trump in Europe, about issues with former President Obama. Here's what I have to say. Let the dust settle. Let us see how these things go. The same Donald Trump who was a bull with the European Union, who was a bull talking about Brexit, who was a bull talking about NATO, who got some results very quickly on certain issues, and created some major national firestorms and others that could end up being productive firestorms. Was he the same man in private with Vladimir Putin? Was it alpha male versus alpha male, both not budging from things that were important to them, but recognizing that world peace could depend on them getting along? Did Trump do what he'd normally do in some audacious way to make some kind of deal long term? Or did he back down and cower? We don't know yet. We don't know. Let the dust settle. Don't get caught up. It's going to be everywhere the next few days. Don't get caught up in wild partisan politics. Fair enough? We'll be back to talk about transgender revolution.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Join in on my Twitter poll, all right, over on Twitter. I just posted the question seconds ago, literally seconds ago, asking this: how do you rate the president's performance in Europe on this trip? All right? Just asked it literally seconds ago. How do you rate the president's performance in Europe on this trip? Excellent, good, fair, or poor? You can call me if you like, 866-34-TRUTH. And for those of you that followed carefully today's events with the meeting with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. Let us know your thoughts. Happy to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. There is a constant flood of news having to do with transgender issues these days and transgender individuals. And it's something that I'm always looking at and we're always getting questions about. And I thought it would be helpful to look at a number of headlines, a number of articles, and talk about some of the major reasons why I am convinced the transgender revolution will fail. Let me give you a few reasons why I firmly believe the transgender revolution will fail. Let me first say this. If you are struggling with gender identity, you are convinced that you're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, or if you have a child, you've got three boys, but boy number three acts different than the other boys, and now even at the age of four, he really believes he's a girl, and you are struggling with these issues, I do not for a moment want to demean or downplay the reality of these struggles. I do not for a moment want to minimize them and say, oh, they're just going to go away. No, in no way do I want to do that. And my greatest desire is that you receive help from the inside out. In other words, my greatest desire is that whatever the cause, be it spiritual, be it emotional, be it mental, be it some hormonal or biological or chemical issue that has kicked in, creating some abnormalities, whatever the cause is, my hope is that we can find effective cures for the problem. Because it's definitely a problem to feel like you're trapped in the wrong body. It's definitely a problem to feel that you're, quote, misgendered. Would we all agree with that? That is definitely a problem, all right? And the goal is not that we then say, okay, send the boy to school dressed as a girl and give him a girl's name, then put him on hormone blockers as he comes near puberty, and then keep him on hormones after puberty, and then, as soon as he's able, get him sex change surgery and then hormones for life. That certainly should not be the goal. The goal should certainly be, let's try to find help from the inside out. So can we all agree that that is the goal? That would be the very best. You say, well, we've tried that, we're done. You're telling me that all research on the subject is done? You're telling me that all possible cures and treatments have been exhausted? You're telling me that while science continues to look for a cure for cancer and while science continues to seek to combat other illnesses and problems and issues, that this is one we should say we're done with? Obviously not. So we can differ as to what should be done right now and what's best for the child or the adult right now. We can differ about that, but you should not differ with me when I say the present solution is clearly not ideal and clearly not the best. And to call that transphobic, it's absolutely the opposite. It's true love that says, let's keep looking, let's keep searching, let's keep trying to help from the inside out. All right. The transgender revolution, though, seeking to make gender something that is totally between our ears, what's in our head, and purely socially defined, and then disconnected from biological sex. And to argue that there are no intrinsic differences between men and women, as some have done. Or to claim that Bruce Jenner is a genuine woman now and should be treated as a genuine woman. Or to teach little children in school, beginning in kindergarten and first grade, that maybe they're a boy trapped in a girl's body and vice versa. These things are harmful. These things are wrong. These things are based on false premises. And ultimately, because they are not natural, ultimately, because they violate God's intention for the human race, ultimately, because they open up literally an infinite number of categories of gender, ultimately, because they break down very distinctions God has put in this world for the establishment and flourishment of the human race, ultimately, the transgender revolution will fail. All right, let's look at some recent headlines. How about this from the Christian Post? The Christian Post reported this on July 15th, so just yesterday. Transgender referrals for kids as young as six hit record high in Scotland. Do you hear that? Transgender referrals for kids as young as six hit record high in Scotland. Now, I had read about something similar just in the UK in general a few days ago, or well, maybe a few weeks back, a similar phenomenon. And people are wondering Of course, we have an increase in the states as well. And a recent survey of kids in California indicated something like 27% said they weren't sure about their gender identity. So how do you go from people who legitimately are intersex, maybe 0.05% of the population, people who have some type of genetic malfunction or abnormality or biological abnormality or chromosomal abnormality or ambiguous genitalia, those kinds of things. How do you go from 0.05% of that and then maybe add, so that's, those are legitimate physiological issues, all right? How do you go from that to maybe 1% who identify as transgender? So you're now talking about another category where biologically, chromosomally, they are fully male or fully female, yet are convinced on the inside that they are not. So it has to do with what's going on in their brains primarily, right? I don't say that to belittle. Our brains are important, right? How do we go from maybe 1% to 5 or 10 or 20? How do you get these numbers? Get these numbers because mixed signals are being sent to little children. You get these numbers because transgender activism is being celebrated by the media. You get these numbers because schools have curricula. For example, schools in Sweden have it as part of their fundamental curriculum to undo gender differences. So to have boys playing with girls' toys and girls playing with boys' toys, and of course, ironically, we're also told that if a boy likes girls' toys, maybe he's really a girl, although we're told to break down these societal distinctions, so the whole thing kind of crashes and burns right there. Toys R Us, going out of business in the States, had their biggest, the biggest toy company in Sweden, and years back, we documented it, showed pictures from their catalog where girls are playing with Nerf guns and boys are playing with princess dolls. I mean, this is bound to fail. This is unnatural. Ultimately, men are different than women and women are different than men in fundamental ways. And it's been demonstrated really out of the womb how boys respond to certain stimuli versus how girls respond to certain stimuli. How different parts of the brain are used. If a man has a stroke in certain part of his brain, it affects him one way. If a woman has a stroke in that same part of her brain, it affects her differently. Because there are fundamental differences. Fundamental differences. And to deny these based on perception is to deny reality. And you have more and more homes where kids are being raised in gender-confused ways, where kids are lacking good role models of either mother or father. There's someone that we knew years ago, knew the person growing up, and then sent Facebook page, oh, last year, heartbreaking, that the girl married to the guy, they're now switching roles. She's becoming the guy and he's becoming the girl. And this is wholeness for them. These are very sad states of affairs. And when you look at where this is going, when you look at the trajectory, you say this can't continue. This is societal madness. So this is just the first headline we're looking at. I've got a bunch more for you. But these are some of the fundamental reasons, friends, why I say the transgender revolution cannot succeed. It ultimately cannot succeed. All right, friends, we come back. There is a whole lot more to talk about. We've got a really special interview tomorrow. You don't want to miss it with Dania Greenberg. She is the visionary founder behind the Tree of Life version of the Bible. I participated in the translation project. It is a unique Bible, never done before, with a team of Messianic Jewish and Christian scholars. And it gives you Jewish background in unique ways as you're reading. And, of course, retains the names like Yeshua for Jesus and Miriam for Mary and Messiah for Christ and Torah for law, wherever that's appropriate, etc. So we're going to be talking about the translation. And check out this week's special offer. Yeah, there is a beautiful giant print Bible. Now that I'm 63, I really appreciate giant print Bibles. It is beautiful, beautifully produced with a glossary of Hebrew words in the back. So we'll be talking about that. And folks have sent in questions about the translation philosophy and specific verses. I'll be answering those questions as well tomorrow. All right, we'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, this is really interesting. This is very, very interesting. Drudge Report, which is a news aggregator, so it just has headlines on it and has posted in a strategic way that it makes it tremendously influential. Years back, folks, notice if you want to know what Rush Limbaugh is going to talk about, go to Drudge Report and you'll see the headlines there. A lot of times drives his content. And of course, very conservative and very pro-Trump, very strongly pro-Trump. And yet the headline on Drudge Report, here it is, just looking at it with you've got to see the picture. Putin dominates in HEL, hell short for Helsinki. And here is Putin striding out with a smile erect, and just this moment with Trump, he's walking behind, and his shoulders are slumped, and his legs hanging, and he's got this defeated look on his face. This is on Drudge Report. Interestingly enough, Michael Brown here. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. And all of you who are able to watch us on YouTube or Facebook as we do our live streams, that's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. So if you're not driving in the car listening on our great radio stations, if you are with computer access or even on your cell phone, you can watch these live streams. And when I talk about a graphic like this, we pull it up so you can see it. Other headlines. So again, CIA former head John Brennan, Trump's press conference, an impeachable offense, treasonous. Trump winks at Putin during high-stakes Helsinki summit, slams foolishness of past administrations. Putin declares Cold War is over, and on it goes. CNN headlines, Chuck Schumer, Trump took word of KGB over the CIA. Top Republicans in Congress break with Trump over Putin comments. So these are the most stunning, shameful moment of Trump's presidency. So Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, says he is appalled by what Trump said during his press conference with Putin. And Putin vigorously denies that there was any collusion between him, their countries, to get him in office. That much I've always believed, that there was no collusion between Trump and Russia. Did Russia try to hack the elections? Did they think Trump was the better guy to get in for their own purposes? That's a whole other subject. But we shall see. We shall see. Anderson Cooper, disgraceful performance by Trump. And let's look at the headlines on Fox at the moment, Fox being a conservative pro-Trump website. Bipartisan backlash. Trump triggers outrage over defiant news conference with Putin as Dems fume over Mueller criticism. So I guess what we can glean from this, only knowing about the press conference and not knowing what happened behind closed doors, what we can glean is this. Trump is much more upset with Robert Mueller and his endless investigation, which were triggered by the firing of James Comey and him leaking information to a reporter, which then led to the calling of a special investigation. Trump is more upset with Robert Mueller than he is concerned about Vladimir Putin. That just seems to be a bottom line reality here. Now, look, he blasted Theresa May in England saying, why are you getting your natural gas from Russia? You get it from us. You get it from others. Why are you working with them? So, again, it seems to point to him being hostile to Russia and Putin. In that setting, He just referred to the European Union as a foe. So obviously he's got some issues, trade issues or other things where he thinks there are imbalances. And yet here, he's basically going to say what he's going to say. And his biggest thing is, obviously, again, forgive me for speculating, because these are serious, weighty issues. But to the extent we can read between the lines, here's what happens. Trump continues to be fuming with the Mueller investigation, which drags on and on and on and on, and to date has made no clear connection between Trump and Russia colluding to win him the election. So he remains very upset with this. This is stuck in his craw. He meets with Putin. They have some very candid back and forth about issues going on. Trump is happy to blame past administrations for mishandling things. Putin saying, let's move forward. But Putin strenuously denies that his country has been involved and certainly says, of course, we didn't collude with you. So that's the biggest thing for Trump right now as he comes out of that meeting, criticize Robert Mueller, and basically say, I've been telling you the truth here, and gets everybody upset in the process by, quote, believing Putin rather than the CIA, believing Russian intelligence rather than the CIA. At this point, though, can I be totally candid with you for a moment? May I? I don't know who to trust. Oh, outside of the Lord. I don't mean in that sense. But how much do you trust the FBI now? How much do you trust the Department of Justice? How much do you trust CIA, NSA? Okay, overall, do I trust them versus the KGB or Russian intelligence? Of course. Do I trust our country as opposed to, say, Venezuela or Iran? Of course. No comparison. Of course. But I don't know how accurate reports are. You don't know who's got an agenda. You don't know who's doing something behind the scenes that nobody can report because they're in bed on it together. When you go to a country like India, it's a given that there's a lot of corruption in the government. It's a given. And in order to get things done, you're going to have to bribe somebody. Okay, here's the local inspector, and he's checking out your building. And you're in a minority community in your city. Well, it's just understood. You got to bribe the guy to get the plans passed. That's understood. There are some African nations where it works the same way. One of our missionaries was talking about being in Ukraine for years now. They get pulled over by cops for no reason. Just got to give them a cash bribe, and then they let you go. Now, do we have corruption like that in America? Sure. Do we have injustice and people not being treated equally? Sure. But the overall system functions in such a way that you don't have to rely on bribery, that corruption is not the expected norm. And it's not everywhere with every individual or leader in these other countries I mentioned, of course. So overall, I have more trust in our system than in other systems. And because of our democratic policies and because of the openness of the media and the press and our access to things on social media, I think there are a lot less secrets than there used to be, or a lot less secrets than there are in other countries. Having said that, friends, don't think that everything is so squeaky clean. I don't put my trust in the political system. I don't put my trust in the Republican Party or Democrat Party for these reasons. I know there are all kinds of things happening behind the scenes of which we know nothing, and that's the way every government runs. I'm sure it's the same in Israel, which I support, and other nations which I love. So I would just say that in the last few years, my level of trust in our intelligence agencies, or the integrity of our intelligence agencies, or the unbiased nature of our major organizations. Come on, look at IRS. Look at IRS, found to be in violation, guilty as charged of bias towards conservative organizations and groups and things like that. And we know in the social media world, I mean, we've documented, I'm the daily victim of it, okay? Not poor me, I'm just telling. We face this all the time. I mean, I'm looking on YouTube the other day. One of my videos gets flagged, and they get flagged every day. Dr. Brown answers your questions. Oh my, how terribly controversial, how impossibly controversial, how utterly inappropriate and unsuitable for advertisers. Obviously, flag that video. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. So, I mean, this happens to us constantly. So we understand the inequities that are there and the double standards that are there. How much are they taking place in places where they're not supposed to, where you don't expect that, where you're not dealing with a public company, you're dealing with a government agency? I am not an InfoWars right-wing conspiratorialist or left-wing conspiratorialist, all right? If there are conspiracies out there, if anything, I will be slower to see them. I will be slower to acknowledge them because I am so much against the hyper-conspiratorialism and everything is a secret society out there trying to undo us. The trilateral Illuminati, whatever. That being said, I have a healthy skepticism of a lot of the operation of our government because I have a healthy skepticism in human nature. Here, so let me come at this from this angle, all right? Yeah, I haven't even given out the phone number, but that's fine. I'm just talking here. Let me come at it from this angle here. We always say if you ever find a perfect church, the moment you get there, it won't be perfect anymore, right? And of course, there is no perfect church because there are no perfect people. So therefore, if there's no perfect church because there are no perfect people, it stands to reason that there is no perfect denomination, right? It stands to reason that there is no perfect revival. Why? Because human beings are involved. So in everything we do in ministry with our team, with Ask Dr. Brown, with Fire School, with Fire Church, with Fire International for our missionaries, we seek to do everything with excellence, above board, full of integrity, good stewards of funds, walking in purity, honest before God and man, and yet we're not perfect because we have human beings involved. We love our grads from our ministry school, and we think the world of them and our students, and we have high standards getting in and staying in and graduating, yet we know they're not perfect. So why should we now think that when it comes to the federal government, as massive as it is, and with so much money involved, and so much power involved, and so much political vying and partisanship involved, why should we think that the federal government will operate with perfect justice, with complete impartiality, without bias? It is highly unlikely, to state the least. All right, friends, we're switching subjects when we come back, and we're going to talk about something very prevalent in our world today, and making massive progress, but why I'm convinced ultimately it's going to fail. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. So last night, I was giving prayerful thought to today's show, and thought, as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, I want to focus on something so prevalent in society today, the transgender revolution. Now, we've spoken at some length about the summit, the meeting between Trump and Putin. We need the dust to settle on that, but there'll be a lot more to comment on that in the days ahead. But I wanted to make sure I devoted some time on the broadcast to this issue of transgender revolution, the T in the LGBT movement. Again, as far as people, my hope, my prayer, my desire is for them to find wholeness from the inside out. As far as the transgender revolution in society, I believe it will fail, and for good reason. Look at this headline, LGBTQNation.com. So this is a gay website. hormone therapy linked to dangerous health issues in trans women. Let me read this again from July 14th on a gay website. Hormone therapy linked to dangerous health issues in trans women. And it gets into a lot of detail, and it's very serious. Various medical issues where there are concerns that they could be 3 or 4 or 5 times more likely to contract this disease or have this problem or that problem. So these are men who have co-transitioned to women who are on hormone therapy for that. One of the big, big concerns that's been raised by Christian pediatricians and others is that when you have little kids, you put these little kids on hormone blockers, you know, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, you put them on hormone blockers. We do not have comprehensive tests with thousands of individual subjects over the period of decades to see the effect of this. And then the hormones that they have to be on for the rest of their lives, there are various negative consequences associated with these things. Now hear me for a moment. We continue to search for a cure for cancer, even though we have chemotherapy and other treatments. Why? Because the treatments are far from perfect. They often do a lot of harm themselves. In some cases, they don't help. In other cases, they help only a little. Radiation, chemo, various things like that. So we keep looking for better solutions. But when it comes to transgender issues, no, this is the solution. Hormone blockers until the onset of puberty, then hormones thereafter, then sex change surgery, then hormones for life. That cannot be the best solution. And especially if there are all kinds of other issues that come up related to it afterwards, with mental health, with physical health, then this can hardly be, quote, the solution. Another recent headline, and this is on a right-wing site, The Right Scoop, just got to blot out one word. Here's the latest, we'll say, idiocy from the transgender crowd, period. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is a man who now identifies as a woman explaining, yes, we get periods like everyone else. They don't have to be physical. No. Okay, hang on. Hang on. Here's a biological male who does not have a monthly cycle saying that, yes, trans women, they get their periods too. Doesn't have to be physical the same way. So the whole reason the woman goes through her monthly cycle and the period of ovulation and all this and everything that happens, a biological function in her body, does not happen to a man who, quote, transitions to be a woman. No, we have our periods too. And then, of course, you have women who now identify as men, and you have campuses where they have tampons and things like that for the women who now identify as men in the men's room, because men menstruate also. Friends, this insanity will stop at a certain point. That's why I bring these things to your attention. How about this? Jermaine Greer, famous feminist, tells Q&A her trans views were wrong, but then restates them. So she came under heavy criticism by saying a man who identifies as a woman is not a woman. So she was accused of transphobia online after telling the Australian TV show Q&A that it wasn't fair for a man to decide he was a woman. So during Q&A, she basically said she realized some of her views weren't right and then went back to them again. I read an article. I was looking for it last night, and I can't find where I saved it. And I went to the website. I thought I found it, but I can't find it. It was a conservative website. It was a lifelong lesbian activist saying, look, a biological man will never be a woman, period, end of subject. That's a fact. And resenting now the presence of these men identifying as women. There was a little outdoor swimming place in England, secluded place for women to go. And now some men who identify as women began going there. Well, they weren't happy with it. Rightly so. Especially when you remember that a lot of these men will tell you that this is not sexual orientation. So a male, biological male, still attracted to females, now becomes a female. So now is a man transitioning as a woman who's attracted to women. The women were not looking for men to be there attracted to them. That was their little place. Look, these things are only going to increase, right? Here's another example, all right? This is on PJ Media, reported by Tyler O'Neill, July 8th. Feminists clash with transgenders at London Pride Parade. Different headline, guys, than that one. Feminists clash with transgenders at London Pride Parade. This is not the first time this is happening. This is not the first time this is happening. In other words, there, for example, Women's March, a feminist Women's March, and they have men who identify as women marching there, and the woman's like, no, 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 this is for women. I am a woman. No, you're not a woman. So now you had feminists, lesbian feminists, who were clashing with transgenders at a London Pride Parade, and then if you didn't catch this one, Scarlett Johansson surrenders, pulls out of playing transgender man after LGBT backlash. This was Ben Shapiro reporting this on Daily Wire. And what happened was that Scarlett Johansson, famous actress, or everyone's just called actor now, was going to play the role of a woman who identifies as a man, and transgender saying, no, 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 get one of us to do it. That's what we do. That's who we are. So it's not which actor is best fitted, but whose real life most goes along with it. I don't know that that's the norm. It's one thing if a white person is going to play a black person, has to color their face. Okay, it's one thing. But people play all kinds of roles that are not who they are all the time. But not when it comes to the transgender issue. And then, let's see here. Another Ben Shapiro Daily Wire report. This is May of last year. Daily Beast, liberal publication, laments that just 1 in 5 Americans want to have sex with a transgender person. Oh, how terrible. Well, if a man is attracted to a woman, he's attracted to a female, not to a man who identifies as a female. Why should that surprise anyone? And then another example, also reported on Daily Wire. I wrote about this. British doctor fired for stating gender is determined at birth, for saying biologically they're men and they're women and they're different. And he gets fired for it, and he won't refer to people by their pronoun of choice. He gets fired for that. Friends, the insanity has to end at a certain point. So again, I have compassion for those struggling. I want everyone to get help. The church needs to look for answers to help those from the inside out. But please, may sanity prevail once again in our society. All right, do I have time to take one call? All right, let's go for it. William in Oregon. Time is short, so weigh right in, sir.
Okay. I think that the root of where this is coming from is exacerbated by the teaching or preaching of the law. And I would reference Romans 1 and 2, where he describes the condition of people who are maybe sexually confused or have same-sex attraction. But then to the audience that would, he's speaking to an audience who finds integrity in the law, and then he points them out, like, don't you do the same thing? And I feel like the real dilemma is those same people are in the ranks of Christendom, you know, often closeted.
What same people?
Transgender, homosexual.
Okay. So the preaching of the law then does what? I just want to make sure I'm following you.
Well, I think it is reinforcing the view that God's wrath is being revealed from heaven, which actually isn't the gospel. The gospel is salvation for all who believe.
Right, right. But the gospel, when Paul starts laying out the gospel, Romans 1:16, right, what does he say?
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation for Jew and Gentile alike, right? Then he begins his gospel exposition by talking about the wrath of God being revealed, Romans 1:17 and following, on all human beings, and the universal sinfulness of all human beings. So as we are all condemned under God's wrath, then he comes with the message of justification by faith. And we've often bypassed that. But let me just make this one observation, sir. And I did want to get your call in just because we were out of time and I hadn't taken a single call. I did want to get your call in. So we'll have to discuss this further, to be fair to you, all right? We'll have to discuss this further. But let me just say that for centuries, as the church preached law and grace, so guilty under the law, saved by grace, we did not have an explosion of transgender activism in the society. And you didn't have it in the days of the Puritans, who preached the law of God very heavily, and then out of that, salvation by grace. To me, you have more of this happening as we have this hyper-grace emphasis where God's standards are kind of thrown out the window. But that's another discussion. You may be saying something different, and I want to be fair to you. So we'll continue this, God willing, another day, all right? Hey, friends, don't miss a very important interview tomorrow with Danya Greenberg, We're going to sit down. We're going to spend the whole broadcast talking about the Tree of Life version, what makes it unique, the Messianic Jewish and Christian scholarship behind it, and a beautiful new large print edition. It's our special offer this week. Check it out at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Check out the special offer. Join us for the interview tomorrow, and we'll keep sorting out these massive world issues as we function as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.